हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहैः ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिवासरि गौरभक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
So, Chaitanopanayanam, Natya Shastra, chapter 17, page 69. The recitation, bhaktya, in a play is known to be of two kinds, Sanskritic and Prakritic. I shall speak of their difference in due order. The Sanskrit recitation is characterized by a due regard to minor rules regarding vowels, consonants, euphonic combinations, case endings, nouns, verbs, prepositions, particles, and nominal suffixes, as well as to various verbal roots. Now,
I shall
speak briefly about its application. Vritti. Description of grammatical principles from Vyakaran Kanika. Concept of speech. Satchidananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss, is the intrinsic nature of the living entities. Relationship is established from sat, eternity, activity from chit, knowledge, and ananda, bliss, is the goal, right? So you see, activity is based on knowledge. It's not just activity, any old activity, right? It means it's the knowledge that how to properly perform, but how to properly perform in connection with ananda, the goal. And that ananda is Krishna. If we want ananda, then Krishna is ananda. We're part and parcel of him. He's not happy. We're not happy.
Right? So Maharaj, you see that in many occasions, like Satchitananda, if we don't take the personal, if we don't accept the personal approach, it's always we cannot understand really.
No. That's the whole point, is that because of the impersonal approach, that's why we don't understand.
Yes.
That's why we're under the Ajnana Shakti.
Yes.
So within the material world, under Ajnana, we may be in goodness, passion, or ignorance.
Yes. Yes.
So those in goodness, then they have a tendency towards knowledge, tendency towards
yes.
doing what's right,
yes.
you know, things like that, you know, being pious, following scriptures,
yes.
or like
yes.
this.
Yes.
But it's still impersonal. Because it's not about the Supreme Lord. Personal means you understand the Supreme Lord. You understand the Lord, you understand yourself.
Yes.
Like, it probably gives the example of when it's dark, you can't see yourself in a mirror.
Yes.
But when the sun comes up, then you can see. So when you understand Krishna, then you actually understand yourself. Because
yes.
the nature of the soul is servant of Krishna. That's its dharma. That's what you can't change. It means your faith, your particular religious process that you may be following, that can change, but not the nature of the soul, the actual religion. So that sad dharma cannot be changed. It's just a matter of, is it going to be, as Prabhupada says, either are you going to be serving God or serving dog? You know? Because he points out is the master is taking the dog out for a walk. Why? So he's serving the dog. Then the dog stops to sniff, you know, a fire hydrant. You know, he's the servant. When the dog moves, he moves. When the dog stops, he stops. You know, it's like, you know, Upanishads here or something. You know, but you can't change that nature, whatever you're doing. Head of the family, he's the head, but he has to serve. Head of the country, he has to serve the country. You know, so everybody serves. Anybody who's not in that mood of service, that's always seen as a flaw. That's the problem with dictators. They don't serve. But that they're dictating what should be done and not done, that's not a problem. But we generally mean dictator, it means not for the higher good, it's just for their own purpose. So that's what's wrong with it. But that you have somebody who's in charge and therefore he is telling what should be done and not done. That can't be complained about. That's why, otherwise, what's leadership means? You know, he only leads the discussion, but then still he's the authority in leading the discussion. So like that. So when we see everything from the personal, then we can actually get, because people then see the personal meanings the external. Oh, but we have to consider everybody's conditioning. You know, all conditioning is created equal. It's kind of like, no, it's not. Someone's higher, some's lower, this and that. Souls are equal, but conditioning's not. You know, you're going to make a dog the president? You know? Does that make sense? I mean, one of the four-legged ones, not the two-legged. That one we do all the time. But yeah. Relationship is the intrinsic need of living entities. The purpose of relationship can be realized through activity. To accomplish interaction, the need for expression, pradarshanam, arises. From the need for expression, bhasa, language, arises. Kilikas, predicates, are the secondary aspects of expression. Ideas are expressed through sentences. Senses are made of words. What's a predicate? Kilikas.
Subject and predicate.
Oh, it means the object. It means everything connected to the subject.
Yes.
Yeah, because here is that it makes it the kilikas like that. Describes the subject, predicate. Okay. Because the subject is the one performing the activity. But the activity is the central point. So actually all nouns surround the verb. So that's the thing, is that the nouns are the, you could say, the facts of the situation. But it only has value when it's connected to the activity. That's why sambit means the activity. You know, so sometimes we get is that sandini, you know, that's the existence, that's the sat, so that'll be, you know, from that understanding of jnana kriya and charya, or grand kriya and like this, icha, then we're going to have that the jnana is the knowledge, so sambandhi jnana is there, the relationship, but it's static. Only when you apply it, nabideya, then it becomes real knowledge. Because otherwise, if you have, it's just like, let's say, I sit down and I say, hey, listen, I got a million-dollar plan, you know, like this. You could do this, and that, like that. You're a millionaire. So what's the next natural question? Why aren't I doing it? You know? So that's the thing. So you have. So when you apply it, then it's actual knowledge. Otherwise, it's not. It's not. But the point is it's based on that. So in other words, your activity, you know, is and the knowledge of the activity is based on the situation you're in. So therefore, time, place, circumstance. So the circumstance is who you are and how you fit into with everybody else. Right? The relationship. So based on the relationship, therefore, then you apply it. So that's the applied knowledge. So that's why it's known. That's actual knowledge. You do something like... Prabhupada gave the example, I think one of the mullahs asked a younger mullah, are you intelligent? And he immediately stuck his hands in his pockets to see if there was any money. Because if there's money, he's intelligent. But if there's no money, he's not. So that means he hasn't applied it. He has knowledge, but he hasn't applied it. So the kilikas, they're describing the subject. But the point is it's the verb that makes the whole thing dynamic. Without the verb, then so what? There's a bunch of things. Like that. So the verb is the central point. So you have direct nouns, or the primary nouns, that circle around the verb. Then you have all the secondary nouns that describe, you know, the different nouns of the verb. Like that. You know, all the... what we call adverbs, adjectives, all these things. They're just describing that whole thing there. But the key is the verb, to do something. But that won't be brought out in the academic world because it's not about doing anything. Right? The guy is the professor in the MBA course. If he actually understood the knowledge he's teaching, why is he only getting 5,000 a month when he could be getting much more? You know, so that's the point. It's not about, so that's why they don't talk about this. They don't make the verb the central feature. Because they don't do anything. Yeah. Like that. And they spend their whole time trying to get the students not to do anything. Because the students are always doing something they shouldn't be doing, but they're not actually getting them necessarily to do something they do do. You have a teacher like that, they're special. You know, they get the national award, they get the teacher of the year, they, you know, that guy. Why? Because he's actually doing the activity. They're rare. Others, they know facts, they teach you facts, nothing gets done. Right? That's why after 4 years of a degree or 3 years of a degree, you go to the thing, you get the job, in 3 weeks they'll teach you what you need to know. You could have come there without a degree and done exactly the same thing. Saved all those years, all that money. But the point is how do you tell? Who could do that? Who went through the 3-year course and did the best? Okay. Then there's a good chance he'll be able to, you know, apply himself in this 3-week course. So that's all. 100 guys show up, so you just look at who's got the best resume. But factually, they could take that kid off the street that just walked by, and he could do as good, if not better. Literally. No? In other words, what most adults do as adults, a 12-year-old could do it. But it's a problem. If a 12-year-old does the same job, how much does he require? Let's say you're getting $1,000 a month. The kid, he gets $100 or $200. He's happy. And so will anybody hire anybody who's married? They need the $1,000. He doesn't. The whole country would be run on 12-year-olds. As soon as you get married, that's it. You're finished. Does that make sense? Yeah. So, therefore, that's why it has to be here and delay everything like that. But otherwise, before, somebody was working by 12. They were a master at what they were doing by 16, 18. They were already married. You know, life started then, you know, so they had their kids and they didn't have to wait till they're, you know, 90 years old before having a grandchild, you know. They can't even hold the guy, you know. He dies of a heart attack, you know, chasing him around, right? Well, never saw the Godfather, right? Yeah, so that's a problem. So that's the whole thing. No, but it's set for, they have to put it back because of unions. If there were no unions, kids would be working from 12. The unions are there to make sure that they don't work. So what do you have to do? You have to keep them busy. What do you keep them busy doing? You know, all these courses, junior high, high school, and undergraduate. So that means 3, 6, 9 years, just so that by that time, generally by that time, they're attached, you know, to a partner, and then they need more money. So now they have to work. They have to do it. The kid also could show up, not show up. He doesn't care. You know, so it works out. So therefore, we see is the point is it's about the subject is important because it's doing the activity, but it's the activity that's the central feature. Relationship means activity. I say, okay, this one's this, that one's that. Okay, this is the mother, that's the father, that's the kid. Okay, and I'm sitting there, and I look over. Oh, okay. I look back later. They're still just sitting there. You know, like that. You know, I look back after, you know, we're waiting for our flight. You know, it's another after another hour. They're still sitting there. The flight's delayed another hour. They're still sitting, nothing. Then I'll doubt, are they really a family? You know, is this something, you know, is this some kind of scam here or something like that? You know, like that. So because there's no activity. So activity is the central thing. Relationship is there so you can have activity. So that's what goes before what we were saying, is being a person. That's the central point. Krishna is a person. Then you understand creation because it's his compassion. Because the jiva is doing something, but now he's doing something stupid. So now he, out of compassion, he makes a material world so they can involve themselves in that stupidity. That's why they're under the jnana shakti. Then when they take to, by the association of devotees, take the devotional life, now they can come back to their natural position. So ultimately, it's compassion. You can say, oh, but everyone's suffering here, but the soul is not. The soul identifies with, but it's not. You know, it's just like, let's say you're in one of these like virtual reality, you know, kind of video games and that, and all kinds of things happening. You're feeling all these emotions, but nothing's happening to you. You're sitting there in this. They have these most wild chairs, the big high-end guy, big, huge. They cost tons of money, the rig that they sit in, so comfortable in that, the leaning back and this and that, and then they have all their buttons and all that, and they have all the things and like that. So they're not suffering physically at all in any way, you know. And on this table there's the, you know, the pizza, you know, and on that table there's the drinks. He's fine. Maybe he has to go to the bathroom, but other than that, then he's fine. But he's suffering because, you know, his character, you know, something happened. So that's what the material world, and then you're saying, oh, God's so cruel, he lets us suffer in the video game. You know, so, and you know, don't join the video game. You know, so don't be in the material world. You know, isn't it? You know, join the video game, you're going to get shot. Because what's the whole idea? You're trying to shoot everyone else. You know, so. Yeah. Okay, sentences are made of words. Ideas are expressed through sentence. Okay, so kilikas are the secondary aspects of expression. So all the different things. You have all the different parts of speech. They're the secondary aspects. The idea is your main thing that you're trying to explain. And then the sentences are made of the words, right? So these words, then they're going to be the things you use for expression. What are you expressing? An activity. What's doing the activity? That's the nouns. And how do you define those nouns or embellish the nouns? That's the secondary nouns. Does that make sense? So in other words, you have the verb and six nouns. Those seven are the main thing that you use. Then there's another 18, you know, that we, use that support that. That's the way it is. It's very clear, very straightforward. Does that make sense? Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so you're trying to express who's doing what to who, where, why, how. You know, they say that, you know, who, what, why, where, how. You know, like this. They have that kind of lineup, right? Yes. You know, but the point is the understanding is the activity. Why is the activity going on? That's not necessarily being expressed. You know, there's some aspects that are being there, but the whole point is you get the whole. So, yeah. Words develop through four stages. Is this from the first chapter?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. The first stage is called para, where, due to the desire for expression, the origin of sound, tara, is born from the muladhara chakra, situated in the lower abdomen. Right? Desire for expression, like, because you have nod, which is just primordial sound. That's just there. You know, that's indicated by om. You know, in the performance, the tambura, just playing those notes, that indicate not. That's why it starts with the tambura, it ends with the tambura. The tambura will start, then the other instruments are singing, and then when the singing ends, tambura will go, and then it'll stop. Because that's the basis. So then through that, then you have the nod, and so then you have a desire to express something. So it'll start there in the first chakra. Right? At the second stage, upon rising to the navel, sound is known as pashyati. Right? Having reached the heart due to contact with intelligence, called madhyama. In the final stage, known as vaikari, sound manifests the origins of speech. Mm-hmm. Out of these four, only the last is perceivable by the external senses. You can only just what they say. Others are perceivable only by deep yogic meditation. Prapancha Sara 109 of Shankara, he explains this. So basically what's happening is that it starts off as a desire for that.
Yes.
Then it turns into, you know, the energy of it. right? Then, when it hits the second chakra, then it'll turn into the action that can be performed at the third, at the navel, right? Like that, the third chakra. Is it third? Yeah. Third. Then at fourth, it turns into the nouns that get it done. Then at the fifth, you speak. So in other words, there's the desire to express something. That means I'm going to express some concept. That concept is by some activity. Then all the nouns connected that with are connected. Then I speak. Mm-hmm. So that's how it comes. Mm-hmm. So that's why you change your desire, you change how you speak.
Yes.
So in the Vedic, since this is the principle, they're always dealing with this in this way. So that's why the verb is the central point. But then why the verb? Why you're speaking? The idea, the desire, where those come from? That's what's behind that. Does that make sense? So it's a very different approach. Yes?
Well, can we form a parallel to how we perceive things also, like mind, intelligence and ego through this?
Yeah, you probably could. You know, means you have there's a thought, then there's a more focused, you know, like that. Then there'll be, you know, which will be the mind. Then you'll get into the verb, will be the passion, like that. You know, the intelligence. Then you're going to have the you know, what gets done. Then you're going to have the nouns, which are more gross. So that's the false identity. Because you're only going to work with those nouns that you can relate to. So in other words, what your conditioning is, that's what things you work with. You don't work with things that aren't connected with your conditioning, because that's the heart, right? Because the heart, how you identify in that, that's what you work with. You won't work with something else. Is that?
Yes.
Yeah. So it can't, all these things are connected. That's the thing. Everything's connected. It's just a matter of thinking about it and seeing. And something Shastra mentions something here and there, and then seeing that. Because it's like, if you can make it practical, it's worth the knowledge. Otherwise, just have that knowledge that's not practical, it'll just confuse. And because I've worked at connecting them, but not to the point of practicality, because who connects to practicality? Most scholars don't. That's why they're in their own category. See, a person, let's say, like Maharaj Yudhisthira, he's a scholar, but you think of him as a king, because he applies that knowledge. Does that make sense? So those that just have the knowledge and don't apply, then we'll say those are intellectuals, right? Because they only work on that platform. You know, that the amount of intellectualizing using the intelligence, which is from passion, that's enough for them. That was as exciting as it needs to get, right? You know, then the Kshatriyas have to do something to establish what's right and wrong, right? Nothing. Vaishyas, unless they make profit off of that, they're not inspired. You know, so it's just, it naturally progresses. You know, it gets grosser and grosser.
Because that connection will establish a connection between the psychology of the child with the skill of language.
Mm. Yeah, definitely. Definitely, I would too. But that's why then you have to, from the beginning, you're establishing that they're servant of Krishna.
Yes, yes.
Then they'll see it that way. Otherwise, they have other identities.
That's the reason if somebody speaks some word which is not supposed to be spoken, it's always considered an impurity in the heart.
Mm.
Because everything starts from the desire.
Yeah, that's true. You have that story of, I think it was in Punjab or someplace like that, Maharashtra or that, where that story of it's establishing the point of seeing something auspicious first thing in the morning. Mm. So then there was a cow and it got its horns caught in the fence. You know, I think it was a metal fence and that. And so, you know, a crowd gathers and this and that. And they're all trying to get the cow out, this and that. And then somebody walks by and looks at it nonchalantly and says, why don't you just cut the horns? And keeps walking. Right? And so then everybody's like, cut the horns? What are you talking about? You know, this, that. So then that gets back to the king, right? Because this must have been at the time when basically bad thing. You know, the biggest thing happening in the kingdom right now in the capital is this cow caught in the fence. That's the most, you know, the biggest gossip going on, you know? And so it gets back to him, and the king's, how could he say that? You know, why would you cut the, you know, you figure out some other, why would the option be cutting the horns of the cow? Why not break the fence or cut the fence or, you know, or move the cow like this or pick the cow up? And, you know, no, why it's cutting the horns? You know, why would it be, you know, how you say, harm to the cow, not to the other things? Why the cow is not the value here? So then, he got who that was identified, and all this, and then, you know, and then calls, and then his mentality and all that, then calls the mother and said, this is, your son did this, why is this, you know, what's going on, what's the nature of his birth? And, you know, just saying, well, everything's, you know, just standard and all that, and says, well, was there anything before, was there anything that was inauspicious or anything like that? She says, oh yeah, on the day he was conceived, then in the morning, first thing, I saw a butcher out the window. And so it must have, you know, and she was annoyed by that, you know, and so it must have had it in the consciousness. So then he made a thing that all the women in the kingdom, they wore a mirror. So first thing in the morning when they wake up, so they didn't see anything else, they looked at themselves. Right? Because women are auspicious, especially the married women. You know, so the married women would wear. And so then, you know, married woman's considered auspicious and it's like that. So just seeing yourself. That way then, you know, you didn't have to depend on anything else. So I don't know where that is, but it's the place in India where that's the tradition. I don't know if it's still followed, but it was always before. So they all had that ring that had a little mirror on it. Right? So that's that would be the thing. They're saying weird things just because the whole thought process is wrong. How they analyze all these things, what they want to say, it's already wrong. Yes, yes. They said the wrong word, but why? Because the mentality's wrong. Yes. You know, so it's already the idea, you know, that tara aspect, the desire for. The first day is called para, where the desire for expression, you know, is there. So that's where it's wrong. So if it's on paravidya, then you say things that are going to be transcendental. It's not, it's on the mundane, you'll say something mundane. Thus, there are two main groups of words, namely verbs, akhyatas, and nouns, namas. Okay. Verbs are born at the stage of pashanti, which was second level, where the visualization of ideas takes place, footnote 28. Pashyati takes place in the third chakra, the seat of action, ambition, and identity, and relates to the sense of sight, stemming from the fire element. Thus, one's sense of identity, indicated by nouns, develops from the concept of what activities, verbs, one performs to fulfill one's ambitions, which are based on desire, para. So the second one just is the energy chakra. So say because there's a seat of action, ambition, identity. So it's solid there, but it gets energized for the second. Does that make sense? So that's why the second chakra is also strong, then the one's more enthusiastic and more dynamic and all that. Does that make sense? Hence, then, the celibacy. Like that. So then it comes to that. So what's going to be done? Seat of action, ambition, like this, like that. But your identifying means the action you do. Then there's going to be the nouns, which means the gross. Like that. That'll be at the fourth chakra. Right? As verbs indicate action, they are called akhyatas, or action sounds. Nouns are born from verbs at the stage of madhyama, where the intelligence gives definition to an object according to the activity it performs. Now, madhyama is the at the heart chakra.
Yes,
although Lord Hari is one, he takes up many forms and names to reciprocate the devotion of his devotees towards his lotus feet. Similarly, base words, Prakriti, may take many forms according to the different kinds of Vishnu bhaktas, affixes to perform Vishnu padas, word phrases, and declensions. Bihat, because I was going to say Hari Bhakti Vilasa. No, that's not it. The H has to be before the B. So that's HBV. Then this is BVH. Bhakti, huh? Brihad Harinamrita Vyakarana, chapter 2, invocation. Right? So we see here is that everything comes from Prakriti, right? And it may take many forms. So depending on how it's connected to Krishna, it takes on those forms. So Krishna with his energy, then that's the Vishnupada. That's the word phrases and all that. Does that make sense? So I'm going to take something solid and with the energies. Right? Because Krishna is the subject. Right? And then the object will be like that. So the energy that's there. So then he, how you say, you know, the object is Radharani. So then by the verb, that being connected with Krishna, then that makes the phrases of what's going to happen, what'll be done, what'll everything, why it's being done, everything like that. So it's all based on the Lord, right? So the varnas come from Krishna. Does that come up here?
Yes.
Huh?
Towards the end.
It comes. Yeah, that,
the last step.
So, therefore, then the living entities, then they're dependent on the Lord. So even in the thought process, even in their expression and all that, it's still dependent on the Lord, because the Lord is the syllables. The Lord he takes on the Puran, the Vishnu Bhaktis, the affixes that you connect to that root word. Because the root word is a verb. Basically, out of all the roots, most all are verbs. There's a couple that have some other kind of thing, but they've already been transformed, so you don't have to go through, I think, more transformation. Because you're starting with that, then you add something, then you get a noun, or you get a verb, you get all the different things like that. So that's what you're doing. You're just starting with something and building on it till you get what you want. Right? You know, you have the piece of bread, then you put the butter on it, and then you put the other things, you build until you get what you want, right? So what's important is that complete. So that's the point, is that Vishnupada is with that, then you can express. That's what's happening. So you see here in the Harinamamrita Vyakaran, then the whole point is this: Krishna is language. Krishna's expression. And it's all based on him. That's why he's saying that through this, you can learn the philosophy of Krishna consciousness, simply through language. If language is your thing, then you learn, because that's how it's done. Otherwise, we just take it, oh, it's just feelings and expressions. And, well, how does that work? How does that work other than Krishna? Does that make sense? Without Krishna, how can it work? Yeah?
Also, Maharaj, through this, a lot of the philosophy can be even more deeply understood. Like, the first two chakras is just the sound. There is no intelligence involved in it.
Yes.
So, in modern science, they describe the reflex actions comes through the spinal cord. It doesn't come through, like, no?
Yeah,
it doesn't go to brain.
Right, right.
Then that means the origin, which is sound, it should be beyond your whole faculty of psychology, mental or analysis.
Yeah, yeah. Because it's come from somewhere.
Somewhere.
Yes, come from the reservoir of all speaking.
So then you keep shut up. You speak about the spiritual one because it is. Yeah. It didn't even reach you.
Yeah. Well, that's the problem when you have those who just start talking and that they talk 5 minutes trying to explain their question. It's not really reaching the intelligence. Somehow or another, it's the amount of intelligence they have. It's there, but they're not really applying it. Because it's not solid. You don't know what they want to do. They don't know what they want to do. Nobody knows what they want to do. And nobody wants to know what they want to do. You know? So, yeah. So then you see is that the more focused it is, the more it's understood, connected to the Lord, the better it works. So.
Maharaj, can we say that, for example, in the Vanashandharma, Vaishya, Kshatriya, and Shudra, they know what they want. But can we say that they express a more precise word? Or no?
Not necessarily, because here is that means the Brahmins are the ones that know and teach.
Yes.
But what we're talking about is the mental speculators. Then they, you know, they can teach what they know. But the problem is it's based on the, you know, illusory concept of the material phenomena. not connected to the Lord, or not understanding the personal form of the Lord, or these things like that. There's an attachment for the intellectual aspect. So what we're meaning is, especially, you know, in the context of the modern, then they speak so many things, but, you know, what's accomplished? Like that. You know, because in the Vedic thing is that who was advising the king? It was Brahmins. You know, and if there was a very, you know, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra who was very good in his field and could advise, they were also ministers. They were also advisors. But generally the speaking is Brahmins would be the natural ministers. Like that. So there is that practical. But we're talking about, you have to be careful, is that when it comes to the philosophy, they may not be so there. So these aspects of paravidya, they're all learned from the Brahmins. Right? Because we even see in theater, you know, we're going through now, is the director's a Brahmin. You know, the playwright should be a Brahmin. Otherwise, how do they know all this? The actors have an ability to act. That's their inclination, but be directed at how to put it together properly. Otherwise, they might want to do all kinds of weird things because... So, and that's the fun thing is that let's say you have traditional architecture, right? And somebody wants to do something different, something new, not the standard stuff. What do? Right? It always ends up as Bauhaus. You know? Just, you know, no windows, no doors, no nothing, no plane, no things protruding, just plain block building. It may change the shape. But, you know, it's just like, what is it, you know, the Burj Khalifa, you know, that biggest building, you know, like that. It's still Bauhaus. Just they put it into a different shape. That's all. It's not square. You know, it's just that's all you do. Anybody does, oh, let's do something new. It always looks exactly the same. Right? All the new, you know, apartment buildings coming up all over, you know, in Calcutta and anywhere, they all look exactly the same. They just move something and that's it. They're all the same. Oh, because we don't want to do anything traditional. We're doing something different. They all look the same. Does anybody come to Calcutta to see Calcutta? Just the buildings. They just walk around Calcutta and appreciate the ambience of, or how do you say, ambiance of Calcutta. Right? Anybody? No. Even the people that live there don't do that. But, let's say, do people from all over the world go to Jaipur? They just walk around and look at just the regular buildings because they're done in the classic style. You know, you go to Italy, you look at the Colosseum, you look at the classical stuff. You don't look at the other crowd, you know, that's all slums. You know? So that's the principle is that unless we know what to do, then our idea will just be something stupid. Because you see, all the alternative theater, it's all exactly the same. So they're saying, oh, we're doing something something new. And they're saying, no, you're not. But you stick to the classical stuff, then people get affected. It has the wide range. You have the wide range of topics and subjects and emotions and all that. But in their alternative thing, it's very narrow what you can do. It's just, oh, wow, they did some interesting spin there, you know, half backwards. Then, oh, now they do it, you know, completely bent over forwards. They never do one standing up because that's what they do in the classical. We don't do that. So if you don't do it standing up straight, what are you going to do? Then you have to be bent over. But is the bent over one not already there? In ballet, do they not have one where they're on their toes and they're bent over like this? They already have it. But they do it not on their toes and with their feet out like this, you know. And instead of the hands together, they do hands out like this. Oh, so different. Oh my God. Amazing. What intelligence, you know. So, does that make sense? You know, I mean, not trying to trash, you know, choreographers. But the point is that the classic move gives the emotions. These others, then, you know, they're just trying to do something different from everyone else. So the motive is to do something different. You know, establish their uniqueness, their identity. That's what makes them special. Not that what they're doing is special. No, what I did is different, therefore I'm special. But within classic, you can be special. Why not? You know. So that's the whole thing, is that that fineness is there because you're trying to bring it back to Krishna. Krishna is the most refined. He's the highest class. He's the most intelligent. So we're trying to follow him. So therefore, then that comes down to us in the Vedic culture. And it, so it has that refinement. And then it comes down from there into the, you know, the what the peoples do. You know, what was it, the reality? The realistic, you know, like that. It's just what goes on in life. Like that. And then from there, then people want to adjust that to, into more, how you say, distorted. But then the fun part is they go so far, it becomes so distorted in the expression, now it becomes more melodramatic again, what they were exactly trying to get away from.
You know. And traditionally, there is something called as Natika. Nataka and then Natika. Natika is like this realistic presentation of social issues, this, that.
Oh, okay.
Smaller.
And then after, and the, how you say, in the conclusion of Natika is going outside the door of the place, you know, when you leave the theater and just eating tikas. That would be the only real benefit. And you have something to talk about while you eat the tikas, right? Otherwise. Okay. Yeah? The Purusha Shukta states, right? So we're in that one example, we're pointing out a weakness in the intellectual by how they deal in that, because they're the ones that control language these days, and they don't understand what's going on necessarily fully. And so, but if you talk to them these things, it's not that they would disagree with any of this. They've just never thought about it in this way. And they, well, we would have done like this or that, but you have to just show how it's done. So it still has that position. But it's not that, you know, that was the weakness there. So if they have that weakness, and what's the weakness in the Kshatriyas? It's even more. What's the weakness in the Vaishyas? Even more than that, which is even greater than that.
Yes.
So when you're connected to Krishna, then you lose all those weaknesses. Then none of the positions are weak. Then they all become perfect for engaging in Krishna's service. Does the bird come in the Zoom? No?
It has to fly in.
Oh, I see. Oh, so when it came down, they might have seen it. Okay, the Purusha Shukta states, the Virat Purusha, during the process of creation, gave form to all the creatures according to their propensities and gave names according to the duties, activities they perform. Right? So names are given according to the activity or the duty. Right? So that means Brahmana means one who knows Brahman. Kshatriya means one who protects. Like, does that make sense? So everything has a name in Sanskrit according to what it does. I mean, like this is the table, because it keeps things off the floor. So in Sanskrit, it means to keep off the floor. You know, it's not the, what do you call it? Weirdo piece of furniture that everybody thinks they need and have, but don't actually really use. You know, it's like a coffee table. What do you do with it? You know, does anybody drink coffee on it? You know, how many people drink coffee on the coffee table? Right. Satchidananda, eternity, knowledge, and bliss, is the intrinsic nature of the living entities. Relationship is established from sat, eternity, activity from chit, knowledge. Right? Because without knowledge anymore. And because if it doesn't exist, how do you work with it? Right? You have knowledge on the existence of it. So that's why it'll be in that position as sambandha, knowing that. But you're going to apply that in chit. That's why it's knowledge. And that's the activity. And ananda, bliss, is the goal. All these elements, alphabet, nouns, verbs, and ukta, subject, of language are created to establish relationship. Thus, actual subject matter consists of three, relationship, process, and goal. Thus, through kriya, verbs, and nama, nouns, Bhasha, language, is able to express the three subject matters. Sambandha, relationship, is indicated by noun. The three subject matters. Sambandha, relationship, is indicated by nouns. Abhideya, activity resulting in obtaining a relationship's goal, is indicated by verbs. Verbs. Prayojan of the goal, sampradayanam, of activity, is indicated by nouns. And the experience of the goal is indicated by intransitive verbs. Right? Because when you perform an activity, you get a result. But the ultimate point is the experience. So again, you see it's the intransitive verbs. Does that make sense?
Intransitive?
No, do you know? Because it's been a while. So I don't remember. Okay, transcendental origin of grammar. So all these things express all three, and that's how everything is done. And so then you have all these things that within the sambandha you want to give, you know, it's big, very big, very, very big. Or it's big, 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 big. You know, whatever it is, there's some system, or it's colossal, it's huge. So then you have these things that you've started with something, and then while you use that, then you make the words and they come out as nouns or verbs. You know. Does that make sense? Or supportive of that? The transcendental origin of grammar.
Like payojana, like now, like we can say happiness. So,
but that's the experience.
This is experience.
So that's the intransitive verb.
Yes, this is.
Because happiness is you're just describing that you're not saying someone's happy. It's just means that you can only describe it. It's not something that something's going on. Maybe that's what it means by the intransitive. Is that something's not being accomplished. It's just being experienced.
Yes.
So in the Abhideya, that's where you have the verb that's doing something.
Yes, yes.
But these are then the verbs that aren't accomplishing anything. It's just the experience.
Yes.
Right?
I think it's in one sense the continuous experience.
Continuous, okay.
That's
another chapter. Future, continuous, perfect, and like that. You know, so all these things. So is that?
Mm-hmm.
So in other words, it's there. That's why then it's the intent, which is also then you're trying to accomplish something, which has the verb aspect. That then is the experience.
Yeah.
What you work, the field you work with, the mechanics you do with that. And you will get a result from that mechanics in that field.
Mm-hmm.
But depending upon your intent, you know, which will have this intransitive verbal aspect, that's what's going to be the experience.
Yes.
The intransitive verb.
Yes. Yes.
So that's the point. You're nice, the result will be, experience will be nice. You're nasty, the experience will be nasty.
Yes.
You know, so that's why you see is like someone, let's say, you know, comes in and they're very expert at performing the activity and they get the very good result. Let's say no one's getting a good result, so they bring in this person and they get a perfect result, but nobody's happy because they're just so nasty. You know, they're so proud, they're so looking down at everybody else, dealing with everybody very impersonally. But they're exactly getting, you know, textbook results. Because their attitude is bad, the experience will be bad. And that they're bad, they don't notice that it's bad. They think it's good. So that's why in the Vedic, the intent is more important. Because depending on your intent, that's what starts the whole process. But what is your idea? That's what starts the whole process of going from this Tara to, what was it? What was the second one?
Pashyanti,
then to Madhyama, then to... Like that.
Vaikarika.
Yeah. And then to actual words.
Yes.
It comes from your idea. So if your idea is wrong, or your attitude in the idea is wrong, because the idea is that you have something you want to accomplish, so it's going to have the external, and it's going to have the attitude. So the attitude is what makes. So if the attitude is bhakti, therefore then the performance of the activity then will be nice and will be useful for Krishna and the devotees. So you can see is that you don't change the nouns and the verbs. You're changing the attitude.
Mm-hmm.
So the actual noun and verbs is changed. It's the intransitive verbs is what's being changed.
Mm-hmm.
So it's very Yeah, it's all connected. See, here is another subject matter, and it's still all philosophy.
Yes.
Right? Here, the drama. This is, you know, working more on the emotions and all that. But still, you have to get it across. It still follows the same process. You know, understanding this, then logical work with another aspect. Does that make sense? You know, like that. So it's all, you see, it's all the same subject matter. But what happens is people, when they deal with the paravidya, they don't catch the philosophy. Because they're saying, no, we want to be practical. But the point is, you don't actually understand the philosophy. How practical are you? You get works done, but do you actually express what's there? Does that make sense? Yeah, so that's the problem. Okay. Transcendental origin of grammar.
This is the last chapter.
Hmm?
This is the last chapter of Vyakaran Karnika.
Oh, okay. I thought you were saying this is the Latin meaning goes to the end. Okay, so that was the first chapter.
And then we put the last chapter.
And then the last chapter.
That's all we omitted. Because the details of how all of them connect and small.
Oh, okay, but it just gets back into his explanations.
Yes, after that. But I'm just saying that from Vyakarana Karnika, we just put first and last chapters.
Okay, so this goes up to verse 36.
Yes.
Right, okay. The first and the last. Okay, well, that's what the, what is it called? The Tatparyalingas, what's happening in the first and the last, that's actually what's going on. Then the middle is just details. The essential elements of grammar are the ukta, the main point, the six kartikas, the primary nouns, and the kriya, the verb. That's what's going on. So these 8 points, that's actually what's happening in language. Right? And as I mentioned, the other secondary nouns that are there, the 18 of them in 3 different categories, those are going to be simply supporting this. There's nothing else other than this. So when you approach it like this, then you can focus on this. These 8 points you can focus on. But these 8 points are different from how you learn that, let's say, the basic 8 points of grammar in school. For them, it's the verb, the noun, the adverb, the adjective,
the position.
Yeah, all those things, you know, like and, if, buts, and all that things. And from that, you still don't know what it is. Because there's no, what is the point of saying that? What do you want to get from that? Oh, they should know something about it. Okay, so then they know, okay, the parts. But can they use it? No. So that's the point.
So it is natural if somebody knows these 8, like even a child when he's talking, you can understand what he's saying.
Yes.
Because he doesn't use any other things.
Just using that, yeah. It's even as well, you can tell exactly what they're saying. Yeah. So that's the thing. And kids tend to use this. They don't go for all the other stuff. That's what. Then you have to learn that. So people start here, and then we end them up somewhere else. But the Vedic is you start here and then you just develop it. So it's natural, like the kids are personal, you just develop that. You know? Like the kids see relationship, you develop that. But in the modern, you break everything down, you know, they accept authority, you know, then you just develop that. You know, from okay, then there's mother, then there's father, then there's other relatives, then there's the teacher, then there's the guru, there's Krishna, like that. But the modern, it's breaking down all things. Because then I'm free to do what I want. But if there's no structure in society, what can you do?
Nonsense.
Yeah, but how much nonsense can you do even? If there's nothing there, there's no facilities. There's no roads, there's no this, there's no that. Because you've broken down all authority, so there's no governance, there's like that. So, you know, we're sitting under a rock, you know. Out in the desert there, you know. What can you do?
Nothing.
Yeah, you can throw a few rocks, roll around in the sand, you know, because you felt like it.
Do Buddhist meditation.
Hmm?
You can do Buddhist meditation.
Yeah, that is like that. Go into the cave, draw on the wall. So they don't understand that people did live like that before. That was the end of the last Kali Yuga. So that's what they want to get to? Because they're thinking, oh, we're moving away from that. No. It started above that. It means it was there, then the here, and it's degrading down till you get there again. So they think, no, we started here, we're moving forward, because it's inductive. But no, it's actually deductive. So that's why, you know, what do? Yeah, it's not exactly what was our original way of looking at things. Seem to have found a new spot. Okay. These external, so the main point is there. That's then going to be accomplished for the verb. The verb is what you're doing, and then the six karakas, or the nouns, primary nouns, they go around the verb to establish the main point.
The main point is the point that we want to express.
Yes. Like that. Okay. That's the main point. You know, it's just like now. You wanted to ask that particular question in specific. So then, thinking that, then you've used nouns and verbs to get that done.
Yes.
You know, you say, is it this? Because then it is will be the verb.
Yes.
You know, is the existence of this idea, you know, that we're expressing by the nouns. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So then it's that's what goes on.
Mm.
Yeah. These eternal principles find their origin in the Lord's eternal pastimes. Activities of this world, performed by different objects, are emanating from the spiritual world, where Lord Hari performs these activities as his pastimes, in the company of his devotees. The supreme subject, Karta, is Sri Krishna himself, the performer of unlimited wonderful pastimes. The supreme object, Karma, is Srimati Radharani, who alone is able to fulfill all of Sri Krishna's transcendental desires. The instruments, Kardana, are the divine couple's associates, who expertly assist in the accomplishments of their desires. Relishing mellows of pure transcendental rasa is their purpose, Sampradana. The place of pastimes, Adhikarna, is the Lord's holy dham. Yogamaya, the Lord's all-powerful Lila Shakti, in order to fulfill the desires of the divine couple, is the efficient cause, Apradana, of these wonderful arrangements. Radha and Krishna's performance, Kriya, of transcendental rasa, is the subject matter, Ukta, of liberated souls. Not bad. Okay. So now here, this vowels and consonants, this is from another area. Because this isn't the last section.
Yeah, he's explaining. Before his explanation...
Oh, so now this is back to him.
Yeah, yeah.
Ah.
Before the explanation, we added this in the bridge from Vyakaran Karnika.
Oh, okay. Vowels and consonants.
Initially, he just.
Maybe what you do is put different aspects of recitation is here, and you put five to whatever it is, and then stop there where this stops. And then put the different things here when you start vowels and consonants, you know, further aspects of recitation, vowels and consonants, versus this to this, then you know it's gone back to him.
Okay.
Does that make sense? Because there's this, or is this indented as much as we regularly do?
Less much.
Yeah, that's why it's hard to tell. Or indented more, then it's very obvious.
Okay.
But I'd also have a tendency because it seems like a different subject or further detail.
It's a detail, Maharaj. Initially he described all the parts of it, then he started explaining first the vowels and consonants, and then...
Okay.
First you explain the alphabet, then you explain nouns. And
okay. Okay, so that's there. Wow.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
Jai Srila Prabhupada ki jai.